That's better. First of all, I feel closer to you here than up there. And also, I'm scared I'm going to fall off. So I would rather be right here, though. You can grab me and catch me, right? No pressure. Okay. Well, this is the time where we come to the communion. And it's really actually today a continuation of what we've been thinking about really all week. The midweek was incredible. It was a time of reflection, inspection, and everything. And, you know, I think we had pretty much two-thirds of the church there Sunday at the midweek. And I think it is the beginning of a massive turning point in the church. And we're getting ready to be more bold, more faith-filled, right, in everything we're doing. And so many of us have actually already begun a sober examination of our lives. I know I am right now. And so as we move out of safe mode and into faith mode, personally, as well as collectively. But we're going to focus on one main scripture today, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope I've got it right. I might have typed it wrong, but chapter 10, verse 23. And it's the whole idea where it says about examining ourselves. Now, I don't know about all of you, but I hate exams. I don't like the driving test. I didn't like O levels. I didn't like A levels. I didn't like any book bigger than 1 inch to read. You know, I was very intimidated. And so I started to think about this word examine, especially in relationship to the communion. And, you know, when you examine something, you look at something more closely, right? A detailed inspection, a test or study. And to pull things apart and see how they fit together. And to get to the truth about things, right? That's the point of an examination. When you go to the doctors, you may not say it, but you do want to know the truth, right? After the examination. So in verse 23, have I got that right? Is it 10 or 11? It's 11. Sorry. I typed it wrong. I thought so. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And so the focus, as we look at, is the word examine, and then I'll explain later. For I received from the Lord what I also passed to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we see a short summary of what we should be doing in communion. One of the first things is we remember Jesus. Why we're actually all together. And so it's a conscious thought to go back to our conversion, basically. But then it gets a little bit more serious in the way we partake in the communion. And then I actually captured something new that I want to share with you today. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, we don't want to do that, right? We'll be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone, not just the preacher, not just the Bible discussion leader, says everyone ought to examine themselves. So the challenge is for you to do the examining before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. I don't think any of us want that. So you can't just kind of flow through the communion. Oh, we did that. All right. You know, please don't do that. Look why. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. And he's not talking about sleep or death. He's talking about sleep spiritually. Just your attitude about the communion, our attitude, can put us into a not such a great state spiritually. He says that's why some of you have fallen asleep. Notice what he says. He even takes it a step further. But if we were more discerning, in other words, if we'd made the step to do this right, if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. So he brings up judgment twice in the same paragraph, meaning that this is not to be messed around with, right? And so you see, if we'd been more discerning. So part of examining ourselves is being more discerning about honestly what's going on with our lives. Look a little further. But if we'd been more discerning with regard to that, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged, here it is again, in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not finally be condemned with the world. So he's saying, even when you get the judgment for not taking the communion right, you know, it's God's discipline. It's not like he wants to throw you away or forsake you for mishandling the communion, but he doesn't want you to treat his son with disrespect. Okay, so here's where the new thought I had, at least for me anyway, and this is a challenge for me. The whole idea of examining ourselves is a challenge. And so, have you ever thought as you read this scripture, well, exactly how do I do this? How do I examine myself? Well, I got my Cambridge shirt on today, so that's good. I've got my jacket, my preaching jacket. You know, it's not like that at all. And so, it's interesting. You have to start thinking, what would I do to examine myself? Well, look, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to give you a few verses to get us and guide us to where we need to be to examine ourselves properly during communion. All right? Amen to that. Psalm 17:3, though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I plan no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Of course, this is David speaking here. But you can see he's calling upon God's examination. That's where this is going. 26:2, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and mind. So what we start seeing here is this appeal to God for his examination. And that's a challenge. The key verse, though, in Corinthians, if you notice, the Corinthian church was a very big problem church. First and Second Corinthians. And Second Corinthians 13, he's still talking about things. I mean, they're the longest books in the Bible of the epistles, both of them. And it's like very heavy. Verse 5, examine yourselves. There's that word, all right? To see whether you are in the faith, test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus enlists you in you unless you fail the test? He is not talking to non-Christians here. So one of the ways we examine ourselves is to see whether Christ is really in us. He said, unless, of course, you fail the test. He's talking to disciples who failed the test, who failed to take Christ seriously inside of them. Now, what's interesting here, Paul is on his way to a collective restoration of the church. Watch these verses, verse 9. We are glad whenever we speak, but you are strong, and our prayer is that you might be fully restored. He's talking to the church. You might be foolish, maybe. Verse 10. This is why I write these things when I'm absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh and use my authority. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not tearing you down. Watch this again. Verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Be united. Amen. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And so you can see that the challenge throughout Corinthians, the first book and the second book, he's still telling you the same thing. You've got to examine yourself. But honestly, I still felt a bit lost, even after reading those great verses myself. And I said, how do I really examine myself before I take the communion? How do I examine myself? Then it occurred to me, look at the way God examines us. Maybe that's how we're going to find out how do I examine ourselves. Doesn't that make sense? Think about it. Job 7:18. You examine them every morning, test them every moment. Woo! How would you like to test every moment? That's a big challenge. God looks at, he really pays attention. 13:9, same book, Job. Would it turn out well if he examined you? Could you deceive him as you might deceive a mortal? There's a whole integrity, truth process going on with our lives, our authenticity with God. And so, you know, another verse great in Psalms says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observed everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with passion. Proverbs 5:21. Your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. In other words, the decisions that you make. You can see where I'm going with this. In other words, when we examine ourselves, we should examine ourselves the way God examines us, not our own. If we all did our own examination, we'd give each other an A+. I know I would. I was like, yeah, I did great. Leave me alone. But that's not what's going on. So this challenge of examine yourselves, I think, can go to another level, which is examine yourself the way God would examine you. That's really the point here. Amen. And said, and for Jeremiah 17:10, I only have a couple more. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. You know, he's not examining us for the sake of, I'm going to see how many I can fail on this test. He's examining us so he can really reward us. But he has to be righteous even about his rewards, if you think about it. But one verse I would like us to close with, and all look together, Lamentations 3:40. Lamentations 3:40. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Beautiful, huh? Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. So that's the whole goal of examination. It's not just to pass a test with God. It says it returns you to God. You know, in 1 John, it says if you confess your sins, he's with you, right? If you're faith, he's, you know. So it's that constant looking at your life. As we take the communion now, I beg you, challenge all of us to examine yourself and what would God say? And let that help us as we take the communion. Let's pray together. Holy God, it's so good to be together with disciples who love you, God, to be part of your kingdom, your fellowship. Lord, I'm honored just to be a disciple in my 60s, and I'm so excited that I'm still preaching, teaching in your name after 45 years. I want to do it right to the end, Lord, to give you, to give the church, every disciple, my best, my wife, my children, Lord. Thank you as we take this communion now. Help us to really examine and see if there's anything that we need to straighten out. Even if it's talking with another brother or sister later this week, something to get right before you as the church collectively moves forward. We're so grateful to be here, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.